This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, I also have questions about what happened in that Sports Minute. Thank you guys very much for listening, no matter what. And since you listen no matter what, I feel like you need to get rewarded.
Let's get...
Rewarded!
Let's get something away!
Man, that enthusiasm level was lacking. But the prize remains the same. Caller number 10
now
will win a four-pack of tickets.
I'm trying to do it seductively now.
To go see your Texas Rangers play Seattle on June 3rd. You can buy tickets at TexasRangers.com/tickets, or you can win them for free right now. Four-pack of tickets, 877-881-1053. Now, regardless of how this series turns out, what is your confidence going forward in the Luka-Jason Kidd partnership? Because
I love it.
And that's where I think I am at. And I was reading a story from the Dallas Morning News, and it was kind of given some breakdowns, and there were some quotes and stuff like that. And I just thought, you can feel, I guess, the respect and appreciation that Luka has for Jason Kidd, which in some of these star player situations is almost mandatory. Like, I'm not saying it went down exactly like this, but sometimes I wondered if LeBron was like, what did you ever accomplish, Eric Spoelstra, in the NBA? Like, yeah. I'm going to do what I want to do. And Luka can look at Jason Kidd and be like, okay, you accomplished quite a bit in the NBA.
To that point, you know, speaking about LeBron, is I don't know if LeBron could ever have taken a coach saying what Jason Kidd has said throughout the season about Luka. Not that, like, Jason Kidd is like a couple times, whether called out, Luka's got to participate in the defense.
Yeah.
You know, and there are a few other times. It wasn't, but he called him out specifically, like, kind of, we need more from you type of deal. And Luka has responded and is almost kind of really respected Jason Kidd for that. So I do think they have a very healthy relationship. And I don't know, obviously LeBron has had a great career, but I think it's very tough to just keep hiring somebody that's like, just let him do it.
Just
let LeBron be the head coach.
I actually have a quote from you kind of about that. Okay. It's from this article by Callie Kaplan, who's done a really good job covering the Mavericks along the way. Is Luka said, ex-Yugoslavia is always tough love. So he's talking about one of his other coaches, but the idea remains the same. He goes, I think we learned that as kids. We're built that way. And so I think that, like, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb, not knowing particularly either one of them from personal experience, that the ex-Yugoslavian coach is probably different than your run-of-the-mill AAU experience. And so I think that quote right there kind of lends insight into what you're saying, is when Jason Kidd gives him some of the tough love, he knows the reason for it, and he's fine with it.
Yeah, and I think that this can be a long-lasting relationship. That being said, I wonder after – I wasn't in favor of Rick Carlisle leaving the Dallas Mavericks. I thought, man, this is a great coach. I get that he's having issues, but I really think he's a good coach. I still think he's a good coach, but it was time. And maybe it was past a little bit of time to move on from Rick Carlisle. And maybe you should only have a coach for a maximum of 10 years. And then that's it. Their time has run out. You're just – It's the same voice. As long as you somewhat have the same core of guys, and you'll always have a lot of guys that have been there for, let's say, 5+ years, is I think Jason Kidd is the perfect coach for Luka, but probably there's going to be a time where you're going to need a new voice if Luka is still the leader of this team. But I think for the next 5+ years, I do think we have the right coach to help Luka.
The didn't they? They brought in Luka's old coach from overseas, yep. right? As a and that's a smart move by Jason Kidd to say, I need to connect with this guy. You coached in the NBA for the Phoenix Suns, who should have drafted Luka in the first place. But you coached him, you wanted him, you understand the kid. I need some help connecting with him. And I think that was, I don't know if that was a Mark Cuban idea or a Nico. I don't know whose idea it was. I think it was smart though, because they are connected now. And it was and maybe on the other side, I need that guy to respect me. And if he didn't respect Rick Carlisle, I need him to figure out how to respect me in some way. Otherwise I can't get the rest of the guys on board to believe in what we're trying to accomplish. And once they see that their guy respects that, they're like, all right, I'm in too. But the other thing is that you keep hearing throughout this series from the sideline reports, not just this series, but even the past series, is Jason Kidd says he knows exactly what Luka's going through on the court because he's experienced it. And that relationship, I think, is very good and strong. I don't know if it can last forever. Even Tom Brady and Belichick couldn't last forever together. Sure. The Tim Duncan and Pop thing did until Tim Duncan was done, but that's because that was Timmy's character, right? I don't know if Luka's even remotely close to the same kind of character that Tim Duncan is, but I think that it's beautiful right now to watch and to see that these guys and, hearing Luka say that you even trust him more is a very good... good thing to see for this team as they go forward, because Luka's going to believe and the rest of the team is going to believe that whatever players they add to this thing, it is for that one singular thing. That is, if they fail to get it this year. If they win the NBA championship, you just run it back every year for until they lose.
Right.
And you make no changes to this team.
Well, historically, that is not what we would do, but I understand your point.
How weird would that be if they let's say they did it, and then here we are sitting there next year going, why even change the team? Why even do anything? You just won. I know Dwight Powell only played 10 minutes throughout the playoffs the entire time, but why would you change it if you won the whole thing? I don't know, man. Mark Cuban's smarter than all of us, right?
Well, he can't figure out how to fix a hole in the top of his arena just yet, so I don't know. I don't know about all of that. I'm with you guys. I am super pumped about this partnership going forward. I was not a huge fan of this Jason Kidd hire by any means, but man, through one season, holy crap, yeah. Has it shown to be a great hire.
Now we talk about Luka because he is the franchise player yep. and the guy that we need to be the best player in the NBA to win the championship. How much credit do you give him for the improvement of Jalen Brunson this year? Because Brunson went from a $12 to $15 million free agent to start the year. Like, hey, at the end of this year, you're probably going to have to pay him $12 to $15 million. So now he's probably going to get $25 million a year.
Yeah.
I just wonder, because Jason Kidd's background of point guard situations, and I don't know if you guys saw the interview last night with Jalen Brunson on the set of TNT, but
I did not. I saw he was talking. I didn't get to catch it.
They were asking questions to him about kind of when he had to play without Luka to start the Utah series, how much quicker they play when Luka goes to the bench, him and Dinwiddie, and how that they handle the offense and stuff like that. And he did say, man, I've had a lot of conversations with Jason Kidd about playing with Luka and then playing without Luka, as in when Luka's on the bench, it's you're controlling the tempo, the flow, the execution of the offense and everything. And so I also want to give Jason Kidd, I don't know how much credit, right? I'm not there. I'm not in the locker room or at practice, but I want to give Jason Kidd a lot of credit for also the development of Jalen Brunson in his fourth year in the NBA. And first, credit goes to Luka and credit goes to Jalen Brunson. I want to make this clear. Coaches can't make a bad player into a good player. If you're bad, you can somewhat improve them. There's a level you can improve a person. It wasn't like, oh, I had all the wrong pitching coaches. If I'd had the right pitching coach, I would have thrown the ball 94, or executed pitches like Jamie Moyer. I mean, Jamie Moyer became Jamie Moyer because of Jamie Moyer. Yes, there was help along the way, but it's Brunson making Brunson. It's Luka making Luka, and then the coaches help. And I do believe Jason Kidd has done a great job in helping them.
I saw something in an article that I was reading earlier today that I was like, I don't think that is the way this is going to play out. Is it said, what do the Warriors need to do to win game 5? They don't really have to change much. The Warriors. Yeah, like, and I was like, man, what a discouraging way to start your game. It's like, nah, we're pretty much going to do the exact same thing. We're probably going to win because we have the better team and everything like that. And, like, I certainly understand it, but I am curious, as we start to turn things forward, what, if anything, would you anticipate the Warriors changing, even if it's closing out a little bit better on defense and not give up as many open looks?
Yeah, I think what you mentioned is number one, is that they're going to say, hey, look, Dallas seemed to be more aggressive getting the ball into the paint and trying to finish at the rim. Let's make sure that we keep our guys in front of us more. They've pretty much, Steve Kerr, every time they go to him, he's pretty much allowing us to shoot open threes. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard the, you know, when they went to, he's like, I don't care if they shoot these open threes. Yeah. Let them shoot it. But we get the rebounds. We get the loose balls. If we're not getting the rebounds, we're not winning rebounds, and we're not winning loose balls, we're going to lose. So he's pretty much saying, I'm going to allow the others, Maxi Kleba, Dorian Finney-Smith, Reggie Bullock, Jalen Brunson, they can have all the open threes that they want. But when they miss, and he's believing they're going to miss 65% of the time or more, we're going to get the rebound, and then we're gone. If there's a loose ball, we're getting that loose ball, and we're going to score off of the transition opportunity there. So I really don't know if Golden State's going to make any major adjustments besides, guys, you can't let them get to the lane that easy, because last night was the best the Mavs had done, I believe, at least through three quarters of getting into the lane. And then also this.
They were attacking from different angles.
Did you notice there was actually cutters and people weren't just standing on the three-point line waiting for the basketball? I think that was maybe a little surprising to Golden State. Like, whoa, I thought Dorian Finney-Smith just stands here for 20 seconds.
They weren't expecting
it. I thought Dinwiddie stands here. I know Dinwiddie only had two baskets made, but it was interesting just to see we actually had guys that didn't just stand in an area and just wait for the ball to come their way. And I don't know how much the Mavs are going to cut from the wing or from the baseline when they don't have the ball. And they didn't do it a lot yesterday, but they did do it some. And I think Golden State was like, wait a second, we're playing a zone. And in a zone, if guys don't move, if you've played basketball before and you're playing a zone and guys don't move without the ball,
you're good.
It's really easy to play a zone.
Yeah. No, I don't know who could have predicted that that's what they needed to do, Kevin, yesterday when you asked us at 10 o'clock in the morning, but it was me. but I think we Mike and I both had the same sentiment of that's just not what this team does. They haven't done it all year. Why would they start now? But then they said, you know what? We've been saving this up because we want to catch everybody by surprise. Now,
we should have implemented it one game.
Well, no,
sooner.
Don't worry about it. It's more dramatic, Kevin, if you come back down 3-0. Because now Golden State has no clue what to expect. But, Mike, what you're saying there is they're cutting and they're surprised by it. And then what does that do? That opens up your three again. Because I have to just anticipate if this guy moves, what's going on? And now I have another pass that gets it to that open guy who's wide open and confident and making his shots.
I know this goes to future rather than tomorrow night. I wonder if Luka, and he plays the game a certain way, and I love watching him. He's one of the best at it. I wonder if after playing against Golden State, if he goes, boy, that four guys moving without the basketball surely seems to be beautiful, fun basketball. And I wonder if next year we see the Mavs. Jason Kidd, once again, going back to the main topic, Jason Kidd talked about before the season started, we need Luka to set up his teammates more. And it was kind of like, dude, are you sure? Like, have you seen these teammates of his? Like, how much do you really want him to set up these guys? And I think Luka's done a better job of that. I think Jason Kidd wants that. And so after you get done playing Golden State, and most likely lose to Golden State at some point one of the next three games, is does Luka sit down with Jason Kidd at some point and go, hey, can we do some of that Golden State offense where, like, there's four guys? When I have the ball, instead of one guy setting a pick and three guys standing and waiting for me to pass, what if somebody does maybe set a pick for me, but the three other guys are setting picks for each other and moving off, and so guys aren't just standing and waiting for maybe me to pass them the ball.
I wonder, because I didn't watch him enough overseas to know, like, if he participated in that kind of game or if it was what, because watching the Olympics this past year, I did see a lot of similarities to what we're looking at right now, so he's very comfortable doing that. Right. So I don't know what his comfort is of finding those guys on target, but everything seems to say that he can adapt to anything, right? Like, that's the one thing I would presume is that Luka can adapt to whatever offense they're trying to build. But there are parts of it where the little nuances of, I look left, that guy gets off right, now I have him here. You know, like, so it's just a little bit of what he would have to learn, but you also have to have the players around you that are willing to play off ball like that too.
I have one more super cool, positive Luka stat for you. I told you the company he has of players ages 24 and younger to get three first team All-NBAs. He joins Kobe and LeBron as the only two other players to have three All-NBA selections of any kind through their age 22 season. Now, I know he's 23 now, but this is still his age 22 season. And when Kobe did it, he had one third team and two second teams. When LeBron did it, he had two second teams and one first team. Luka has three first teams.
Mm.
Like, that is pretty incredible.
Remember, we didn't vote for it. We didn't overrate
yeah.
him.
No, I... Well,
people, though, they put that yeah, on us on social yeah. media on, like, Luka's not that good, mm-hmm. and it's like...
Tell right, everybody well, else who covers the
yeah,
NBA.
I don't know. We didn't make the votes.
Maybe our votes were the ones that are weighted differently.
Oh.
Because they're like old KNC, very heavy. And so we need to weight them a little more.
That is a good point. And by the way, if you're looking for some international basketball coming up in 2023, the Bulls and Pistons are going to play in an NBA game in Paris. So it will be January 19th, 2023. That is actually a really good game. Is they will be taking...
How excited would your wife be if you're like, let's go to Paris and go watch an NBA basketball game?
She would be like, oh, you know what her answer usually is? Do I get to go buy things? And so I bet if I was like, yes, go buy some other things, she'd be like, that's fine. I don't care. Go to your little basketball
game. What does
she
want to buy?
That's a thing.
Like a baguette?
No, but the opportunity to buy whatever... is like more intriguing than the actual thing.
Fashion?
Yeah.
Fashion and pastries.
What do you think you would do in Paris? Like with romance and stuff?
I think I'd be bored. Hey, there's a building they messed up and it's not straight up and down.
I've learned from watching Emily in Paris.
Wait, is that in Paris?
Wait, is he talking about the Lean Into
yes,
the Pizza?
That is 100% what he's talking about.
Is that there?
Emily in Paris no. has shown me that there's
that
lots
Italy?
Of romance.
It is.
Yeah,
lots of it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yes, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is not, it's not in Paris.
That's in Italy.
I'm sorry.
All right. There's it looks like Pisa, the one at Italy. Six Flags. That's what I'd say.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I don't know what to do with that. Coming up next, a quarter of the way through the season, is this Rangers team where you thought they would be? Are they better? Worse? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we're having super bizarre potential wagers discussed about if the Mavericks can win in Game 5. But wanted to throw it back to baseball for just a minute, because obviously sometimes baseball has kind of fallen to the wayside as we've been in the midst of talking about all of this. And if you guys have any other thoughts or stories that you want to talk about that you feel have fallen by the wayside as we've caught Mavs fever, like, I'm definitely glad to hear about that as well. 877-881-1053. But is this where you thought the Rangers would be? So going into last night's game when they were at like the, you know, kind of the 1/4 of the way there, they were on pace to go 73-89, which is like, I'd buy that. I think
their over under was 72.5
yeah,
in Vegas.
Yeah. And so I said I was hoping for 75-87. And so this would still represent a 13 game improvement. But we talked about expectations going into the season, and I bet a whole lot of people are like, this is disappointing.
I'm not disappointed, but I will say I thought they would get to 18-23 a lot differently, if that makes sense. What I mean by that is I thought we would be seeing not an awesome offense, but an average to above average offense led by Seager and Semien.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you, Mike. If Semien is playing... I don't know, even to the level that Seager's playing.
If he would have five home runs with a .250 batting average, I don't think that'd be impressive, but it would be like, hey, that's solid.
How much different is this team then if he's playing that better? Is it that much different, or is it just like, okay, well, that money invested is okay right
I
now?
Think it's a great question, because here's where it's tough to answer is Semien now becomes a threat. Right now, Semien is an out. I don't think it'll stay that way all year.
Wild, too.
But like a team like hey, we're in the seventh inning. Simeon's coming up. All right. Big deal. Right?
Yeah.
Right now, until he proves any different, big deal. That's an out.
Yeah.
When Simeon is, if he's going right, to your point, Corey, let's just say 250 with five home runs. I'm not doing anything special there. I've put him into a category of, oh, it looks like he's going to hit about 30 home runs and be a little above average hitter, because 230-ish is an average hitter now in baseball, is then how many more better pitches do other guys get?
Yeah.
Is all of a sudden, hey, Simeon's coming up, solid hitter, look at his past history, let's be careful here. And then all of a sudden, now a guy's on first base and third base with two outs instead of just on third base. And you're going, let's just go after him. We're fine. And now Seager's leading off an inning, and it's tougher to do damage. And remember, Seager's not much of a power hitter. I don't know if people understand this or not.
I don't think they do.
No, yeah.
He's a 20 to 25 home run guy for his career. So when you sign that big contract, you're saying, hey, we really want a 300 batting average, a 400 on base percentage with 25 homers, 25 doubles, five triples type of guy. That's kind of who he is for his career. And so Simeon was supposed to be more of your power threat in these two guys, but it's a great question, Corey. I don't know exactly. Obviously, defense has to get better for this team to be a 500 team. But
you think they'd be dancing closer to 500 than they would be, though?
If Simeon was average? Yeah, okay. I do. But just because it gives you another major threat. Right now, it's only my feeling, but if you're watching Ranger games quite a bit, I think when Simeon comes up, I don't think you have a positive feeling right now.
Nope.
That something good's going to happen. Game on the line. Simeon's coming up. We were supposed to feel like really good about
crap,
that.
Crap, let's pinch hit him.
I don't think they'll do that to him.
That thought has crossed my mind too.
When he comes up, you're like, oh, could he break out of it now? It doesn't feel like it through these first seven innings, but maybe this will be the at bat. And then he has another at bat, and you're like, dang it.
You know what's interesting about that? It's kind of the alternate theory for how the Warriors and sometimes the Suns were guarding Mavericks players. They're like, well, that guy ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
So let's just not bother. And then when they do, they're like, uh-oh. Well, and so for Marcus Simeon, the numbers say...
they're not crapping their pants right now.
Yeah. No. The numbers say this will not be the time. Yeah. But we're all still like, it could be. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, no.
There's just so
not.
Much history there of him being a good player.
Yes.
But you just keep watching. And I know that there's still a lot of season left. But you keep watching going, is he going to break out of this, or is this who he's going to be all year?
Now, one of the positives, I think we would all agree, he's been a freaking revelation, is Martin Perez.
Man.
And I wanted to throw this out there real quick. This is Chris Young when he was on with G-Bag, because we are the official home of the Rangers, talking about how well and the evolution of Martin Perez.
Well, I think a couple things. First of all, just speaking of the moment where he gave Bees the game ball and dedicated the win to him, I think it speaks to just, one, the culture of our group. I think we have a great group of guys, great group of coaches in that clubhouse, and a group that really cares about one another. And the fact that Martin was so thoughtful to really recognize Bees, everything he's been through, what he means to our organization, and then dedicate that win to him, I thought it speaks volumes, and it gives me real hope for where we're going too. The culture is extremely important to all of us, and to see those types of moments or acts really embodies who we want to be as an organization, what we want to become. Specific to Martin, and he's just been tremendous. From the work, the dedication, the commitment, the leadership, it's really everything that we could possibly ask for. I can't speak to how he was here his first go-round. I know certainly he was he got to the big leagues quickly. He was young. There were maybe some immature moments from time to time, is my understanding. But we have seen nothing but a complete professional. This is a guy who is dedicated to his craft, who's dedicated to being a great teammate. He's prepared every time he takes the mound. He competes. It's been so fun to watch. And really, it was from day one at spring training. We signed him after the lockout. He showed up to spring training. And the first bullpen he threw, I was standing near the catcher, kind of close to Martin, watching his pitches from that angle. And it was just unbelievable how good he was. And I thought, wow, this is special. If he can maintain this, he's going to have a very good year. And he has not wavered one bit. The commitment, the dedication has been there, and we're just very thankful he's a Ranger.
So not only pitching well, but then you see kind of like the integration into the clubhouses. I think one of the reasons why, at least I'll just speak for me, I've kind of gone from he's an innings eater to, huh, does he need to be a staple, like maybe leading or like being a part of the young pitching group for a few years?
I said this the other day, and who knows what'll happen, but right now you're five games under. Most likely when you get to the All-Star break or the trade deadline, you're not going to be a team competing for a playoff spot.
Sure.
So you have to look at teams that are going to call up and say, hey, we're a pitcher short in our rotation, and you got a guy with, let's just say he has a low 2 ERA or a mid 2 ERA.
Which is still astonishing.
I mean, he has, I think, a 1.62 or 1.64 right now. I wouldn't trade him. I would say, if you want Martin Perez, you're going to have to give us one of your top three prospects in your organization, which I do think stops the conversation because of his history.
Yeah.
Because people are going to go, no, we see him as your Gibson.
Yeah.
Who we had last year.
Yeah.
Right? Made the All-Star team, having a really good year, and we didn't get a lot for him.
If Kyle Gibson would have gone on to like be second in Cy Young or something, do you think that would have changed perceptions?
Because Gibson went kind of back to Gibson.
He did.
He's better. Like, don't get me wrong, but he didn't go to, oh man, the Phillies got an All-Star there. I mean, they got a solid starting pitcher. And so I wouldn't trade Martin Perez. He's on a one-year contract, so you have to be willing to, and I think Martin wants to stay here, is be willing to give him like a three-year extension. And I don't know the exact number. Let's see how the season plays out, too, because if he does end up with like a 3.5 ERA, then it changes.
Is that too low?
It could be a 3 for $45 million, but that would be him really performing to a ERA under 3 for the whole year.
Okay.
And so if he puts up a 2.7 ERA and wins 12 games, the winning is a little bit different.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly, where you get that from. Like, as in, you could win 18 games with a 2.7 ERA. You could win 8 games with a 2.7 ERA. That's more up to your offense than it is to you. I think that he needs to be here because when Cole Wynn gets here, when Jack Leiter gets here, when maybe a guy he's years away, Owen White, gets here, I do think you have to have Martin Perez-like guys in your rotation. You can't just say, here's all young guys, thumbs up, let's go.
There has
to be some veteran guys here. And so far, they probably thought John Gray was going to fill more of this role.
Yeah.
But it's been Martin Perez filling this role.
Kevin, do you want to hear something awesome?
Yes.
This might be the biggest story for tomorrow.
Oh, is it about the Tampa Bay Lightning trying to go for a three-peat?
Clarence Hill.
They won last year.
The increased use plan of Tony Pollard is in full effect in Cowboys OTAs.
Oh, my God.
They opened up team drills with Pollard on the field. They opened up team drills with Pollard on the field and Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard lined up in the slot.
Let's go.
So there you go, baby.
But doesn't that make sense with like the wide receiver core being where it is, and especially with Gallup missing time early?
Mm. Hold on. Are you trying to say, but once he's back, everything will go back to usual?
No,
we
need more
be
Tony
excited?
Pollard. What
I don't
are you
know
trying
what's
going to
happen
here?
In 6 months. How am I supposed to know that?
When Zeke gets the ball, should we yell moose?
That's hilarious.
See the fullback?
That was great.
No, I understood your comment, Mike. That was not lost
the
on me.
That was nice.
See, now I wish I wouldn't have said the thing earlier from Belichick when he's like, what plays? Minicamp plays? Because then I just kind of like dismissed it. And now you're saying the things that I want to hear.
And new Cowboys wide receiver James Washington did not practice today.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to.
Just keeping him fresh for the season, boys.
Tyron Smith was absent from OTAs today, too.
Keeping him fresh for the season,
I don't know
boys.
If you understand how this is going to go. I want to hear just the good things.
Jalen Tolbert, James Washington, Jabril Cox, all present, but didn't practice.
Look, just dedicated to the cause. Making
there.
Sure to show up.
Yeah. Wanted to be part
what
of it.
What good does that do?
We can spin all of this positive. I don't even know what you're trying to do over there.
Oh, Jose Leclerc's been sent to Frisco.
The only reason we went 12-5 last year was because of OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
They were so awesome, and I was like,
they sent Jose to Kirk down to go and help Jack Leiter. See, just keep spinning it, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my
CD
God.
Lamb, oh, CeeDee Lamb has caught a pass from Dak Prescott.
Never going to drop a ball again, Kevin.
Never! 98 Vikings Randy Moss right here. Like that's what I'm feeling.
God, OTA, man.
Feels good to talk football again.
All right, I like it. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
How many times do you get to the Super Bowl, and they're like, man, I tell you what, the Rams OTAs was the reason
that's
why they're
where
here.
It started. That's what they always say.
That feels like sarcasm, though. That's where you guys are spinning it positive. Yeah. That feels sarcastic right there.
We knew that we were going to have the triple crown of wide receivers.
That's sarcastic!
Because you should have seen him jogging at OTAs.
Yes. That's
he was
right.
Jogging with purpose, Mike.
Yeah, it was the purpose that he
maybe
jogged
maybe he wasn't
with.
Jogging. Maybe he was. They were like, the Rams don't jog at OTAs.
You know what I would love one day? Is a Mike unfiltered interview with somebody from the Cowboys. It doesn't have to be Jerry. It could be whoever. It's like, do you ever wonder why they have you show up here and jog? Don't you think that's stupid?
Dude.
Like, that would be all of the questions.
Ezekiel Elliott is wearing a new helmet this year.
What?
Daryl awesome. Johnston.
I just want to make sure that we keep people up to date on what's going on at Cowboys.
Did he change his number to 48?
We're the KNC Masterpiece. That's the tight end's number right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is it today?
Pretty dang good, Heggie. How are you?
I am doing well. I think I'm doing even better now that I see that Eric and Zach are sharing a microphone. I think it's adorable.
Congratulations on your bet.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What was the pressure like for that? Because that's a different level of pressure for that game.
I felt completely at ease when I first did it. In the first hour of the show, I was very maverick confident. And then as the show went on and we got to about 7 o'clock, I was extremely nervous. And I thought, maybe I have some regrets. And then when the game commenced, I felt great about it.
How about when the roof caved in? Were you like, were you thinking that they might call the game and have to replay?
We'd have to shave half of your beard.
Yeah, were you confident then?
I was still feeling pretty good until all of a sudden the second and third teamers of Golden State started really cutting into this Maverick lead, and then all of a sudden we got to put Luka back in the game, and I'm like, what the bleep is going on here?
All right, so you made a big wager, big stakes, so as a betting aficionado, what do you get in return now that you won your bet? Because surely you didn't bet nothing on the other end of this.
Surely he did.
What a maroon.
Why would you do that?
It happens.
I am an entertainer. And I care about, entertaining the audience, and I care about the Mavericks.
I was driving. I was worried yesterday for you. I really was. That's why I called in. I was like, please don't.
Yeah, Bratis tried to kill the bit.
I heard. I was listening. I was like, wait, Brian.
No, Bratis just wanted a brisket sandwich really bad. That's all it was.
Oh, yeah.
He just really wanted a brisket Sammy.
It's got like a perfect beard. I mean, I didn't want him to have to lose that.
We're going to get this beard off one way or another, Brian, and don't you dare try to step in the way of it.
As we got closer to game time, I felt good about the Mavs. I was like, listen, the NBA, they can fix things without fixing things, and this is $25 to $35 million a playoff game that they get in advertising, and I've just seen 3-0. They'll push it to 5. I'm not saying they're fixing it, but there's just certain times where you're like, oh, it seems like they're helping out this team a little bit. And I'm not saying the NBA did that last night. They didn't have to. But, I felt good about it going into the game. And then I just remember I only cussed once up at Bally Sports Southwest.
Nice.
And that was when I believe it was Kuminga.
And that was on air.
Or that when you saw the food spread?
No, they don't have food there.
Oh.
When Kuminga or Moody, I can't remember which 19 or 20-year-old rookie hit the 3 to cut it to 8, but I was like, you got to be S-ing me. And you should have seen Devin Harris and Brian Damaris and Dana all looked at each other because they had this beautiful run sheet all printed up because, you're up 99-70. Mm-hmm. And when they hit that shot, they all looked at each other like, oh, my God, are we about to have to just tear this up and have to do another run sheet on how the Mavericks either lost this or it became like a one-possession game with 1 minute to go? Because that's what it looked like it was trending towards with 3 minutes to go. It's like, this thing's going to get down to like 3 or 4 points.
And the fact that it came to 8 is terrifying because for the second time this series, they've just evaporated 20 or 21 points against you, and you looked helpless for a while. I don't know what lead is safe. I'm going to call it 30 points with 8 minutes to go.
Now, Corey, help me out here. I'm almost positive that I heard Zach say that because he's an entertainer and right. he loves the Mavs, and that's why he put his beard up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Dawson, and you can help us out with this. I assume then that that means that this bet is going to ride.
Right.
If you're an entertainer and you care about the Mavericks,
see,
I assume that we're letting this ride into game five.
You do want the Mavs to win, don't you?
Yeah.
How bad do you want to win?
But I'm not a believer in peer pressure.
Oh, really? Here's
the
thing, exactly.
I think that that's a problem in our society today, and we actually should probably talk about
that.
It feels
like you are a believer in peer pressure, and that's how we ended up in this
spot. If it benefits me, maybe. But this is not a situation that does at all.
I'll tell you this, and Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this too. What if we present another option here?
All right.
What if the Mavericks win, mm-hmm. Kevin will eat a baby spoon of sour cream and a baby spoon of guacamole, two things that he does not like. Do you think
Gross.
That would be...
Gross. Just a baby spoon.
Just a baby
spoon.
You're about
to have to feed a baby.
You
can
keep your beard,
year,
but he's got to eat food.
Yes.
Well, you soup can't spoon. Feed it for like 9 months.
Soup spoon.
Soup spoon?
Soup spoon.
What about a soup spoon?
I
then?
Can't. I apparently...
Then don't shave your beard.
Well, you don't believe that they can win? Or yeah. The other way around?
You're right. They're 7-point underdogs. So I'm with you. But I also didn't say that I would put something on the line because I care about the Mavericks. Here's the facts as
Kevin,
we know
Kevin, would you
them.
Do it on the line? Like, would you, if we give you the points?
Oh, that's a good question.
Ooh,
you like to gamble.
You know what? I am going to have to consider that. But real quick, the facts as I understand them. In the three games where Zach did not put his beard on the line, the Mavericks are 0-3. In the one game
and I'm back to this now.
Where they did put his beard on the line, they're 1-0.
Yeah. The power of your beard. That's what we're learning is your beard might be as powerful
logically
as a platypus.
Hey, and Walchuk, we have G-Bag show magic happening.
Yeah.
You see Mitch last night, didn't you?
That is true.
Yeah.
Mitch Garver?
Yeah. You come on the G-Bag Nation player show.
Wow.
Five in a row. These guys go off immediately.
I love it.
It started, I think, with
Martin Perez. Yeah.
Dane Dunning.
Yeah.
Cole Calhoun.
Do you think they're like clamoring now? They're
no,
like, no, I'm next.
We actually asked Mitch about this yesterday. I'm like, is there a buzz in the clubhouse? Tell me. He's like, actually, this is the first I've heard of it, which is a whole nother, tragedy with this baseball team, considering Marcus Semien is struggling
That's
like this.
Say. We need a weekly show with Marcus.
We
got
to get the message to Mark.
Marcus, that's a great point.
Be back over 500 by the end of June.
So
or the beginning of June, maybe.
We will have 5 hours to discuss this. Okay. We'll
is
see.
Is there a Ravens receiver you want to get off?
I don't think you're supposed to. I think that was in reference to something that I regret that I said about Rashad Bateman.
Baskey wants to be Bateman so bad.
That did not. I still haven't heard that clip back, but I have been informed that did not go down the way that I wish I would have said it.
I don't
it.
Think you should have said it that way either.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. All right, let's go with something different here.
How you feeling, man?
Not great. It's National Brown Baguette Day. Did you guys take your lunch to school? What did you have in your lunch? And did you feel like there was a hierarchy or a competition between people who brought their lunch and the kids who got to buy their lunch?
100% there was. The buyers of lunch, you envied them.
Yes!
And, 100%. And I would always be trying to wheel and deal. I'd bring the nutty bars and stuff like that. I'm trying to get my hands on the chicken strips mm-hmm. because the chicken strips in middle school were top-notch level, like to the point where the one time where I saw the kid
checking out
this would have been Gene Pike Middle School right. in Justin, and then I went to Northwest High School.
Right.
But in Gene Pike Middle School, man, it was top-notch chicken tenders, especially the spicy ones. And I'll never forget the day that the dude was checking out of the line, and he fumbled the ball being the spicy chicken tenders. They come crashing on the ground.
5-second rule?
And dude. He looked at it. He shrugged his shoulders.
God made
completely.
Dirt don't hurt.
Yeah, well, he felt like the dirt did hurt, and he just walked away.
Oh,
I watched
no.
the entire thing. I slid over there. I scooped him up, and boom, there it is. I'm Good. Eating spicy chicken tenders
Good
with the
you.
Gravy.
That was the best decision you've made that day.
It was all about the pizza sticks.
Oh. Never had it. The square
what?
Pizza. We had square pizza.
Okay.
Square pizza.
Yes.
Yeah.
The square pizza was great. Yeah. All right. But Sagling Elementary, Haggard Middle School, yes. The pizza sticks, That's where it was at.
I never had a hot lunch from any school. It was just, it was terrible. You know, I smelled it. I think I had like a bite of somebody's square pizza at some point. It was really bad. You know, this is the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's been. The first time I started eating at school was in junior high or middle school when they had the little store. You could get Otis Spunkmeyer cookies.
Yes.
Or a bag of fries. That's when I started eating at school when I was a little bit older. But I always took my lunch. If I would forget it, they would have like backup peanut butter and jelly sandwiches
with the most peanut butter.
Yeah. And those were free, you know, so I would pick up one of those. But
how often did you do that?
Did you go maybe a couple times a year. Yeah, a couple times a year. But my mama was really good at putting my lunch in my backpack or whatever, and bless her heart. I was so finicky, she would make actually a butter and honey sandwich for me every day.
Wow.
It was basically a donut, you know, on white bread. It was amazing.
Delightful.
It was kind of dessert for lunch every day for me.
Man, when you said the 80s, I thought we were about to have a conversation about Reaganomics, and I was really excited. I don't know if our audience would want to hear that or not.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. These guys have been at OTAs all day long, and they have a full report here, especially with Broadus
Tony
and Krusty's Corner coming up at 2:40.
Woo! All right, looking forward to all kinds of Tony Pollard excitement. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way as Mike is reenacting OTAs on the fan cam and the Twitch if you are watching. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.